If you remember, last week it was snowing out. Well, today it's not snowing out, it's raining out. And it's raining cats and dogs. Did you plug that thing in? Okay, there it is. Is it raining? Yes, it's raining. Wow, it's raining cats and dogs. For those ESL people, that language is second or third or fourth language. When we say cats and dogs, that means it's raining a lot. That's not a very good expression. But anyway, it's raining cats and dogs. Welcome. And I hope that last week you were challenged. I hope last week that you learned some things. I want to thank publicly one of our brethren sent me two errors in my presentation, and I thank you for that. I'm always open for constructive criticism. If I say something or if I express something that you don't quite agree with, please tell me. Please tell me. Well, this morning, I don't think, oh, there it goes. It's up now, so we'll carry on. This morning, we've got a very interesting study, and the study is on Ephesians chapter 6, 10 to 24. So if you turn to Ephesians chapter 6, we're going to study from verse 10 to 24, our strengths and our struggles in Christ. Strengths and struggles. Struggles and strength. SS. Something easier to remember. Wonderful, wonderful chapter, chapter 6. And last week we talked about marriage. We talked about obedience. We talked about submission, which none of us like to be under submission. But the secret of a Christian life is being under submission. And it's not hard. When you're doing it for God, it's easy. It's easy. So this morning we're going to be talking about the struggles that we have and the strengths. And the main verse in this end of the chapter 6, therefore put on the full armor of God so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground. And after you have done everything, you stand. We must be motivated to work willingly and cheerfully as unto the Lord. And we're going to be talking about, for instance, are they sleeping back there? It's not changing. Why is it taking so long? Anyway, we're going to be talking about the believer who wrestles. We're going to be talking about wrestling. Now, we're not going to wrestle up here, but we're going to be talking about that. And then we're going to be talking about the believers who watch. We watch and we wrestle. We wrestle and we watch. And we're going to see this in this scripture, and we're going to have a good time. We're going to be standing strong in Christ. Standing by yourself, it ain't going to work. It's not going to work. You can't stand by yourself. But we can stand strong in Christ. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. And standing in the evil day. Very practical message. A message that I hope that God will use to help you. It's helped me and it's helping me. It helped me and it's helping me even as I go through it every day. Dear brothers and sisters and friends here this morning, we are in a spiritual warfare. It isn't easy. And Paul gives a beautiful description here in chapter 6 at the end of the chapter about the spiritual warfare. Now, if I say that, who are these unseen forces? We're going to be talking about some unseen forces. Who are they? What are they? What is it represented? Then we're going to look at some other things, for instance, like what are their power? What are their power? And then we're going to look at what is their relationship to the believer as the will of God, to God. So these are the things we're going to be touching. It's not weird because it's biblical. Hard to understand? Yes, it is hard to understand. But as we go through it and we try to simplify it in the sense that, look at the word for word, the Bible is the best commentary on the Bible itself. And we're going to see one verse that is very difficult to understand, and we're going to read it in four different versions, and you're going to say, wow, that is interesting. Because sometimes when we read a verse, we don't understand it. We go to our libraries and we get our books out, which I don't do anymore. I go to Google and I Google it, and I come away a half hour later more confused than when I looked up the meaning of such a thing in the Bible. And I'll go to two Bibles, the NIV, the New International, or the New King James, or the Darby Bible, or the King James, the Authorized King James, or the New Living Translation. And as I read these and I look at the Greek, I'll go, wow, the best commentary on the Bible is the Bible itself. So we are in a spiritual battle. The Word of God says, For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in heavenly places. What are they talking about? What are they talking about? What they're saying here is, we see in down below, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood. How many times I have said to people, I wish Satan was 6 foot, because I'd take off my coat, I'd say, come on, Satan, and I'd fight him. But we can't do that. We know that we can't do that. How many of us wish we could do it? I'm pretty good, you know. I could give him a run for his money. But this is a spiritual battle. This is a spiritual battle that we're in together as a community of Christians. And I'm to help you, and you are to help me. Because we can't take our coat off. We can't fight him physically. Devil, it's a spiritual. It's a spiritual, spiritual thing. So I hope that when we get to this. Now, what is it talking about, a spiritual battle? What is he talking about? Well, it's quite interesting, really, when we look at it. Because, you know, there's a creation. At creation, God created angelic race. Believe it or not, before God created man, he created a heavenly, angelic. And there was Michael. We've heard about Michael in the Bible. We've talked about Gabriel in the Bible. And Lucifer. God created these angels. Now, Lucifer, he wanted to take over the heavenly realm. He wanted to be boss. He wanted to be captain. He wanted to be better than God was. And that's where all the problems started. And that's what we have to pray about, because we are not fighting against somebody 6 foot high. We're fighting against Lucifer. We're fighting against Satan. We're fighting against Satan and all of his forces. And it's not an easy battle. It's a difficult battle. So what God did, God told Satan, he got him to leave heaven. And he went with, according to the scriptures, I've got all the scriptures here if you want to look at them after. We don't have time to go into them. He went with 1/3 of all the angelic hosts went with Satan. And God expelled them from heaven. Afuera. He said, get out of here. You're history. And God expelled them from heaven. So these are the people, these are the realms. When we talk about heavenly realms, when we talk about angels, when we talk about Lucifer, we're talking reality, because in Scripture, and we can see that very, very close, there's cherubims. There's the archangel Michael, who commanded the angelic army. There's Gabriel, who holds a special position before God. Read it in Scripture. It's so, so interesting. You find it in the Old Testament as well as the New Testament. And this is what we're fighting against. These are enemies of God. And these, not Michael, Not Gabriel, but Lucifer, the devil, Satan. He's the one that we're fighting against. And it's not. You know, we are in a struggle. Life is a struggle. Have you ever said that to a friend? How many times I've said to some, man, life is a struggle at times. Life is not easy. You know, it's more than that. The Bible talks about that life is a battle between good and evil, between Satan and God. There's a battle going on, and it's raging today. And Satan is trying to still take control. And it's a battle that we can win. When I was in Jamaica, man, there's no problem in Jamaica, man. And we used to sing, Jesus is the winner, man, the winner, man, the winner, man. Oh, I used to love that song when I was in Jamaica, man. And there's no problem there, man. But that's true, even though I can't sing it, but that is true. Jesus, God, we're on his side, and he's a winner, man. We can win the battle together with God. Solo? Tout seul? No way, Jose. We can't win it. But we can win it together. If we rely on Jesus and his blood. How many times I've had to pray, Lord, help me. I'm in a struggle. Should I do this? Should I do that? Should I go here? Should I go there? Continually in the Bible, and we're going to see the importance of the Word of God as we go on this morning. Because we can win the battle, because life is a battle. And there's many images in Scripture telling about the Bible. Now, it's not against people. It's not against political ideas. It's not against economical factors. It's against spiritual. It's on a spiritual plane. And we're going to see that very closely in Scripture. You know, in that beautiful picture, now that's not my grandson or my granddaughter, but you know, we as grandparents, we watch our children. And you know, that first step, when that child is able to stand up, we're there, wow! I can remember when my children, David, Daniel, Joel, and Leanne, when they took their first step, we were, oh! But you know, it's wonderful when they can stand up on their own. And that's what God wants for each and every one of us. He wants us to stand up, but not alone. He wants us to stand up with him. Because we can't stand up on ourselves. When we try to do that, we're going to fall. Our legs, just spiritual legs, will not hold us up. It's not easy for a child to take that first stand or to stand up in their crib. But once they do it, they get that confidence. And as God helps you to stand up, we used to sing, stand up for Jesus, ye soldiers of the cross. God wants us to stand up for him. And he'll help you if you ask him. If you try it on your own, you're not going to get anywhere. You're just going to try to stand up, and boom, you're going to fall down. Stand, boom, you're going to fall down. But God will help you stand up. That's what the Bible says, grow in grace. It's a growing experience. Now, in our passage here, the believer who wrestles. See, even Paul uses the metaphor, I have fought a good fight. Can you say that? Can you say that you have fought a good fight? Can you say that? I have fought a good fight. But we can say that. We have the power within us, and that's the Holy Spirit. We have that power in us, but we have to let that power work through us. I have fought a good fight, Paul says. And the same spiritual enemy in the Old Testament moved against the armies, against God's people, is the same that moves against God's people today. And that's Satan. People say, no, Ron, come on. Come on, Ron. We're in 2016, going into 2017. Satan, hell, all that is just a figure of the imagination. It's in the Bible. I believe it. I don't understand it all, but by faith I believe it. I've studied for 50 years. I don't understand it all, but I believe it, and I preach it, and I try to live it, and I teach it. It's a spiritual battle. Now, if you're going to say, well, I'm not in any battle, well, maybe because you're not living a Christian life. If you're on Satan's side, he's not going to attack you. He's not going to give you problems. He's not going to make you do things that you don't want to do. But if you're a born-again Christian and you love Jesus, just as Jesus was tempted of Satan three times, and he didn't fall into temptation. Three times Jesus was tempted, and all three times he said, it is written, it is written, it is written. And if you say the same thing, when Satan wants you to look at that porno on the computer, woo, the porno, you can say no. He'll give you that power because the Bible says, tell Satan, and instead of going on the internet, go on your Bible or go onto your Bible and your computer, your iPad or your iPhone and read. And that'll keep you from doing what Satan wants you to do. It's a spiritual battle and it isn't easy. So we want to look at the plan. We're going to look at the plan. Yes, we're going to look at the plan. And one back. Okay, we're going to look at the plan. I'll bring my computer again. I got my computer there if you want me to set it up. We're going to look at the plan. We're going to look at the purpose. And we're going to look at the people of God. Those are the three things we're going to look at. And we find that in chapter 6 of Ephesians. The plan, the purpose, and the people of God. And if you're a people of God, if you're a part of the family of God, if you're a Christian, this message is very important. Now, if you're not a Christian, that's okay. Stay behind. I would love to talk to you about it. I am in no hurry. I haven't got anything in this afternoon. Believe it or not, I'm not preaching tonight, so you can take me out to Starbucks. We'll have a Starbucks if you pay, and we can talk about this if you haven't got the Lord Jesus Christ. If you're not in a battle, if you don't have problems in your life, maybe because you're on that Satan's side and you're not on God's side. So we're going to look at this very closely now. And it's very important that we see this. Satan attacks the leadership. We're going to see that in Scripture. He loves to attack. I want you, dear friends of mine at Parkcrest, to pray for your elders and deacons. Pray for them. Pray for your Sunday school teachers. Pray for those ladies in charge of the ladies' meetings. Pray for those people in charge of going to the old folks' home. Pray for those people who work with the students up at Simon Fraser University. Pray! Because Satan is attacking the leadership. He wants to ruin our leadership. And we are to pray for the leadership. Pray for the family. Notice in the other picture there, the family. First, Satan wants to ruin the family. He doesn't want the wife and the husband to get along. He doesn't want the wife and the husband to get along with their children. The family is under attack. Satan is not happy. Satan is not happy with Parkcrest Gospel Chapel, Gospel Bible Chapel. He's not happy with you guys. And that's good. That's good, because as you pray together, as you read the Scriptures together, as you study together, as you sing together, as you worship together, as you help each another over the internet, on the phone, a card, some telephone conversation and encouragement, that's what God wants us to do. Work together. Strive together. There's so many social pressures out there. There's so many attacks against the family. Just open up the television. Woo, the garbage. I mean, I open my television. I watch it. And there's a lot of rough stuff on there. And we've just got to get over that and do what God wants us. Stand strong in Christ. That's what we're going to be talking about today. Paul's command to stand begins with the call to strength. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Look at that. It's right there, chapter 6, verse 10, please. Chapter 6 of Ephesians, verse 10. And finally, brother, be strong in the Lord and in His power. It's His power that's going to help us. It's not my power. It's His power. And that's what He wants us to do, stand in His power. And we can stand in His power if we allow the Holy Spirit to work through us. For our strength is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers and authorities and powers of this dark world and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realm. Just like this roof, thanks to your deacons, just like this roof is protecting you from the rain, so the Word of God protects us. It's like a roof. If we use it and allow it to work in our lives, we can overcome Satan. And that's what it says right here in these verses. So important to stand against Satan, against his strategies, against his tactics. Notice what it says, against his tactics, against his strategies. He plans, organizes attacks on God's people. If he tempted Jesus, he's certainly going to tempt us. Jesus overcame by using the Word of God. And we can overcome if we use the Word of God. It's so important. So important. You know, that's not me. No, not even when I was young. But you know, in wrestling, we can't wrestle without strength. And a wrestler has to practice. He has to do, I would do those push-ups for you right now, but I don't want to. I probably can't anymore, but they got to do push-ups. They got to chin up. They've got to work. I went to the gym this week, and I did 20 minutes on the treadmill and 20 minutes on the bike and some weights. But I don't have a body like him, but I want to keep healthy. But if you're in a wrestling match, you've got to keep in good shape. But not just wrestlers. How about people in the army? People in the army. We are to put on the whole armor of God. The soldiers that are fighting for our freedom all over the world have armor. They have, like those wrestlers have headgear on, and those army people have armor on. They have head things on. And you know, it's like us. Because Jesus, through the working of the Holy Spirit, inspired Paul to say, put on the whole armor of God. Whole armor of God. God has given to us this armor. He commands us to put it on. But we're not willing to put it on. We look at the armor of God and we say, no, I don't need the armor of God. I don't need to put that armor on. I don't have to put that thing on because I can do it. But we can't do it, dear friends. But we can do it if we work together and work under the leadership of the Holy Ghost. Look at this verse. This is a verse sometimes hard to understand, but I'm going to read them, each of them to you, but look at them very distinctly. Look at the words. Some of the words are hard to understand, and that's why I've got four versions here to help understand it. It says there, put on all the God's armor so that we will be able to stand against the strategies. I don't know what your version says, but that's probably a good version. But the strategies. Notice another one here. Put on the whole armor of God that we might be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. So one, against the strategies. The other, stand against the devil. Let's look at another one now. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. Schemes. Isn't that interesting? Schemes. Strategies. And one more, just to show you that the best commentary on the Bible is the Bible itself. Put on all of God's armor so that you will be able to stand firm against the strategies and tricks. Satan is there. If he can't get you one way, he'll try to get you another way. If he can't get you that way, he'll work through the family. If he can't go through the family, he'll work through a friend. If he can't work through a friend, he'll work through your boss at work. Satan uses all these different tactics. And we have to learn these tactics. And we can learn these tactics by reading what the Bible says about them. So we are to put on the whole armor of God. Second, we discover this field of battle is in high places. Notice what it says. In heavenly places. In high places. That's why I say we can't fight it alone. We can't beat them. I don't care how strong you are, mentally, physically, psychologically. I don't care how strong, you can't win. We have to depend upon the Lord, and we have to put on His armor, and we're going to look into that. I'm spending more time on this because I think it's so important that we realize the importance of putting on the whole armor of God. Well, let's look at some of the armor. First, we have to have our loins girded about with truth. Well, when I looked at that, I thought of some of you people here. I thought of myself. I don't know what loins is. I don't know what our loins girt about with truth. Well, it's the belt. It's this part of the body. We've got to put on truth, the truth. Because Satan will get at us if we don't know the truth. The truth will set you free, and we can be free. And you can see the picture of that soldier there, and you can see the belt of truth. I think this thing has one of those. Yeah, there it is. Right there. There's the belt of truth. We've got to put the truth, not our truth, the truth that we find in the Bible. And Jesus is that truth. He says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. You've got to put on Jesus. Jesus is the one that will help you. And Paul insists upon this. There's no yes or no or maybe. It's you've got to do it. There's no ands, ifs, or buts. We've got to put on the belt of truth. Or we've got to put the loin girded with truth around our thing. And the only way we're going to do that is to study the Word of God. To look at the Word of God. That's why we have Bible studies. That's why we have teaching sessions on Sunday mornings. So the first thing we have to put on is the truth, the belt of truth. Okay, let's carry on here. Let's see what the next one is. Okay. The breastplate of righteousness. And who is our righteousness? Jesus. I'm right today. I'm righteous in the eyes of God because of what Jesus did for me on the cross. And the breastplate is the piece of armor that covers you from the neck right down to your belt. All those vital organs, the heart, they're all protected if we put on the breastplate of righteousness. And that's what God wants us to do. Not only did the Roman soldiers have breastplate protect them, they would have doors. It looked like a door. It would be about 6 feet high, about 2-3 feet long. And they'd put it here and they'd go. You see the police, the riot police in Vancouver when we lost the Grey Cup. Remember that? The riot police came. And remember they had like doors in front of them and they'd advance. And we have to do the same thing. But the breastplate breastplate of righteousness. We've got to put on Jesus again. He's the truth, and He is also our righteousness. We are right before God, because when He looks down, He doesn't see Ron Edgecombe ranting and raving behind the pulpit. He sees somebody covered in the blood of Christ. Because when I accept the Lord Jesus Christ, it wasn't on my own. I accepted Him. He's my righteousness. So we've got to put that on. Have you put it on? Have you put on Jesus? Have you asked the Lord Jesus, come into my life? Come in today, come in to stay, come into my life, Lord Jesus. I hope you have. Then the preparation of the gospel of peace. The gospel of peace. You can see it right here. We've got to have our shoes. The feet shod. Shod means put on. Feet shod, put on with the gospel of peace. And who's our peace? Who's the Prince of Peace? We're going to be celebrating his birthday. Okay, it wasn't December the 25th. Get over it and celebrate Jesus' birth and tell all your neighbors that even though it wasn't December the 1st, Jesus was born in a manger. And the Bible shows us very distinctly. This week I went to my neighbor beside me. Hi, how are you? Fine. And I said, look, we're having a banquet at Cascades on Wednesday, and I want to invite you. I went to my neighbor behind me. Hi, Gordon, how you doing? Oh, hi, Ron, how you doing? We're having a banquet Wednesday. Would you like to come? I'll pay your ticket. It's $15, but don't worry, I'll pay it, and your wife's. Why do I do that? To get brownie points? No, I want to see these people put on Jesus. I want them to hear the gospel of peace because we have the Prince of Peace. And we can have peace with God and we can have the peace of God if we put Jesus on. And that is so important. Above all, take the shield of faith. So important. There's the shield of faith right there. There it is. The shield of faith. Faith cometh by hearing and hearing by the word of God. That's why we're here this morning. Faith comes by hearing and hearing the word of God. So as you hear the word of God, I hope and trust that you will put your faith in him. And if you put your faith in him, that's part of the whole armor of God. The whole armor of God. The shield of faith. You know, when I go bicycle ride, what a good looking picture, eh? When I go bicycle ride, I use a helmet. The police, they use helmets. But we got to, first of all, put on the helmet of salvation. Accept Jesus today. And if you have accepted Jesus today, accept him as Lord of your life, not just your Savior. You know, a lot of people accept Jesus, they believe in him and all that, but is he Lord of your life? Is he ruling your life? This will be the best Christmas if you get on your knees when you get home and say, Lord, I thank you for saving me, but I want you to be Lord. I want you to be in control. And that's the helmet of salvation. So, so important. The helmet of salvation, of course. And then another armor, number 6. So important also. Take the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Of all the armor, there's only really one piece of armor that is offensive and defensive. Now, when I was young, I had the biggest, blackest King James Bible. And I used to go up to people, and I wouldn't hit them over the head, but I would just about hit them over the head. I would say, hey, you're going to hell. And I'd show them from the King James Black Bible that they were going. No, that's passé. But we do use this to defend, and it's an offensive weapon. We've got to know the Word of God. I don't know how to do swording, but you see some of those guys in the Olympics doing this fencing. Isn't that wonderful? They know when I watch those kung fu movies and I see them doing it with a sword, that's awesome. They know how to use it. Do you know how to use the Word of God? We are to put on the whole armor of God and thank God for the Word of God. And that's what is going to help us more than any other thing in the sense of getting out there with the gospel of Jesus Christ. This week I went to a school and I left 50 Bibles for the grade 5 students. And I just think of those 50 Bibles. Now, let's carry on. Time is just about gone. But the believer who watches. See, we are to watch. That's what the Bible says. Look at it in verse 18 there. It says we are to watch. There it is. It says to pray. So, pray in the Spirit with all at all times and on every occasion. Stay alert. We have to stay alert. We have to watch. It says in the Word of God, we have to watch and pray. And that is so important because we're in a battle. If we're not careful, Satan's going to creep up behind you and stick you with something that you don't want. So the Word of God shows us that we are to watch and we are to pray. So important. So important. Watch and pray. Then also the Christian soldier must not only wrestle. The Christian soldier has to watch and wrestle. He must also watch and he also wrestle. So it's just not sitting back, letting God do all the work. We have to wrestle, but we have to watch and we have to wrestle. You know, it's so wonderful to be a part of the family of God. I won't sing that right now, but I'd love to. I'm so glad I'm a part of the family of God. And I know I'm on a lot of your fridges. Thank you. I always tell people, I love it when they have me on the fridge, my prayer card. I always say, don't put me in the fridge because it's too cold. But you know, the reason you'll have success and I have success, and pray for your leadership, as we've already said, God will help them if you pray for them. Pray for Steve as he goes up. Do you realize how many evil spirits are there at Simon Fraser University? As people come from different cultures, praise God, they're coming. Praise God. But they're bringing with them many, many, many spirits with them. And we wrestle against that. And I would encourage you to pray for Steve. Be a prayer warrior. Maybe you can't get out there and knock on doors. I used to do Cascades Gospel Area. I called it my Jerusalem. From 29th to Grandview Highway, from Windsor to McDonald. I did that every 2 years with pamphlets. I can't go up and down those stairs like I used to. But I pray. When I'm driving my car, I'll ride around my neighborhood and I'll pray. We've got to be prayer warriors. And I think of some dear ladies, dear old ladies that pray for me every day. And I can feel it. And we can all be prayer warriors for the Lord. So important. You know, trouble came and trouble is going to come again. And it's not easy. Many people were martyred, eaten by lions, torched to please the Roman Empire, emperor and the others. But we are to put on the whole armor of God. And I trust that this message has been an encouragement for you and that you will put on the whole armor of God. I'm going to close in a word of prayer. And then there's a little clip with sound. The last thing. It's only 3 minutes and then you're dismissed. And I trust that you'll have a lovely Lord's Day. Shall we pray? Heavenly Father, we thank you once again for the Lord Jesus Christ. And we thank you, Heavenly Father, for this message in the sense that we are to put on the whole armor of God. Help us to do so. Help us to help one another. And thank you for the Bible. Amen. Could we have the lights, all the lights off, please? Just a 3-minute clip. Okay.